चैप्टर 13 टीचिंग ऑफ इंग्लिश प्रोज एंड पोएट्री। इन आवर स्कूल्स देयर इज जनरली वन टेक्स्ट बुक हैविंग लेसन्स बोथ ऑफ प्रोज एंड पोएट्री। द नंबर ऑफ पोएट्री लेसन इज फ्यू। देयर आर टू ब्रॉड एम्स ऑफ टीचिंग प्रोज एंड पोएट्री, ए लिटरेरी एम एंड बी सब्जेक्ट मैटर एम। फॉर अचीविंग दीज टू एम्स The teaching of prose and poetry should be intensively as well as intensive studies mainly related to explanation, detailed informations, appreciating and all those aspects that are considered essential for the development of aesthetic sense. Extensive study means gaining of knowledge. Teaching of prose. According to Coleridge, prose is words in their best order. There is a need of a pre-planned lesson plan for teaching prose. Different scholars have suggested different types of lesson plans. According to the Herbartian steps, there should be the following steps in the lesson plan for teaching a prose lesson. These steps are strictly on a personalistic view, according to which learning is to link an old ideas with a new idea, inverted comma close. These steps should be followed after writing these marginal entries. Lesson plan number, date, school, class, section, period, subject and topic. First, aims. The aims can be put under two headings. Journal aims. First, to enable students to understand the passage and grasp its meaning. Second, to enable the pupil to read English passage loudly with correct pronunciation, stress, intonation and articulation of voice. Third, to enable them to understand the passage by silent reading. Fourth, to enrich their active and passive vocabularies. Fifth, to enable them to express ideas of the passage orally and in writing. Sixth, to enable them to enjoy reading and writing. Seventh, to enable them to get knowledge contained in the lesson. Eighth, to develop their imaginative powers. Ninth, to prepare them for world citizenship. Specific aims. Specific aims vary according to the subject matter of the prose lessons. Prose lessons may be descriptive or a story, biography, play or an essay. The specific aims of these types of prose lessons are: A. Descriptive. First, to acquaint pupils with the style of the writer. Second, to develop the imaginative power of students. Third, to develop in students a love of natural objects. B. Story. First, to give knowledge of some facts through the story. Second, to teach some lessons through the story. Third, to train students' character. Fourth, to acquaint them with the style of story writing. C. Essay. First, to get students receive knowledge. Second, to make them curious about the subject of the essay. Third, to acquaint them with the style of essay writing. Fourth, to enable them to arrange ideas in a systematic way. D. Biography. First, to get students acquainted with the lives and deeds of great men. Second, to show them the path of character building. Third, to increase their love of aspiration. Fourth, to inculcate in them desirable sentiments. E. Play. First, to teach students with play-way method. Second, giving them opportunities for self-expression. Third, to make them speak English language in a conversational style. Fourth, to make them play different roles. Fifth, to build their character. Second, preparation. English is a foreign language and Indian students find it difficult. So teachers should try to motivate students to study the lesson. Whatever they do to attract students to learn the lesson is called preparation of the lesson. Under this, the following items are to be considered. First, material aids. The teacher should use the various material aids so that he can make a lesson interesting and enable students to understand the lesson with ease and enjoyment. But he should be cautious of the fact that unnecessary and superfluous material is neither desirable nor effective. Second, previous knowledge. The teacher should know how much knowledge students already possess regarding the lesson so that the teacher can give new knowledge by linking it to their past knowledge. In this way, he can get pupils connect the new and past experiences mentally and learn the matter. Third, introduction. The introduction has two purposes. First, to bring the past knowledge of consciousness. Second, to attract students' attention to the new subject. So the teacher should first ask some questions to test the previous knowledge of students and then link that to the subject to be taught. Fourth, statement of aim. Psychologically, the learner should have a clear-cut objective before him so that he can strive to achieve that. Therefore, the teacher should state the aim. 3. Presentation. This is the main part of the lesson plan. To present the lesson before pupils interestingly and efficiently, the teacher should teach the lesson in two or more units. If the lesson is very short, only one unit should be made. The following sub-steps should be followed in both the units. First, model reading. This model reading should be done by the teacher. Its purpose is to enable students to know the exact way of reading. So the teacher should try to read the correct pronunciation, intonation, and stress. He should also be particular about pause, articulation, and expression. Before doing model reading, he should give instruction to students regarding postures, opening of the book, and attention. While reading, he should not absorb himself completely in the book. He should give some attention to students too. He should hold the book in his hand. Second, pronunciation drill. Before the loud reading, there should be the pronunciation drill. The selection of words for pronunciation drill should not be on the basis of meaning but on the basis of the which are pronounced or can be pronounced wrongly by students. The words should be written on the blackboard one by one and get drilled. This drill can be done before or after the model reading by the teacher. Third, loud reading. This reading should be done by students. Two or three students should be asked to read aloud. Other students should follow in their books. The following points should be kept in mind in his regard. First, the errors of pronunciation must be corrected at the end of the reading. Second, students should be asked to keep the book on foot away from the eyes. Third, they should hold the book in the left hand while the right hand should be kept free. Fourth, all students should sit or stand in proper postures. Fourth, exposition and explanation. The purposes of exposition and explanations are: first, to clear the meaning of difficult words, phrases and idioms. Second, to make the comprehension of passage easy. Third, to pave way for intensive reading. The teacher can employ the following methods for exposition of words. First, direct method. The meaning is taught by showing the object, picture or by some action. Second, translation method. In this method, the meaning of words is told by translating it into the mother tongue. This method is not much effective. It should only be used when the teacher is not in a position of using other methods. Third, usage method. In this method, the meaning is elicited by using words in sentences. The sentences should be such as to make the meaning clear. Fourth, similar word method. By giving words of similar meaning, the meaning is of words can be elicited. ELICITED. Fifth, contrasted word method. In this method, words with contrasting meanings are used. Sixth, derivation method. By telling how to word was formed or form where the word was derived, its meaning can be explained. Seventh, reference method. By telling the cultural or social story or reference, the meaning can be elicited. After exposition, the teacher should explain in brief and difficult portions and references of the passage. Fifth, silent reading. This reading is done by students. The purpose of it is: first, to enable students to read silently. Second, to pave the way for extensive reading. And third, to bring students back to the passage after the exposition and explanation. For a good silent reading, the teacher should keep the following instruction in mind. First, the lips of pupils should not move. Second, the whole class should be quiet. Third, the postures of students should be appropriate. Fourth, the teacher should supervise the whole class. Fifth, pupils should be given judicious time for silent reading. Sixth, comprehension questions. After the silent reading, some questions should be asked to test pupils' comprehension of the passage. This can be done as follows. First, by asking meaning. Second, by asking questions on main portion of the passage. Third, by asking the gist. Fourth, by asking the describe the passage in their own words. And fifth, by asking figure of speech, phrases, idioms of the passage. The purposes of asking comprehensive questions are: first, to elicit the meaning of words, etc. Second, to test if students have understood the passage. Third, to draw their attention to the main reference. Fourth, to improve their expression in spoken language. And fifth, to make them contrast ideas. Recapitulation. RECAPITULATION. Fourth, recapitulation. After teaching the lesson is one or more units, there should be recapitulation of the lesson. The purpose of it is to know: first, if the students have learnt what has been taught. Second, if they can derive the gist of the passage. Third, if they can transfer their meaning learning to other situations. The recapitulation is generally done with the help of questions. These questions are different from comprehension questions. They should have the following characteristics. First, the answer to such questions should be long. Second, the questions should be from all the passages taught in different units. Third, the questions should demand logic thinking on pupil parts. The receptuality questions can be as follow. First, translate this passage in your mother tongue. Second, describe the main incidents of the story. Third, explain this passage. Fourth, fill in the gaps. Fifth, what lesson do you derive from the play? Sixth, why we went from. Fifth, blackboard work. It contains the following. First, marginal entries. Second, words of pronunciation drill. And third, table of exposition work. Blackboard can be used for removing reading difficulties, writing the comprehension and receptuality questions and their answer. The assignment can also be written on the blackboard. 6. Assignment. ASSIGNMENT. Students should be given some assignments. The assignments can be as follow. First, to remember the meaning and spelling of new work. Second, to use these words in sentences. Third, to fill in the gaps. Fourth, to translate the passage into mother tongue. Fifth, to write the gist. Sixth, to explain words, phrases and idioms. Seventh, to answer question on the passage. Eighth, to give the synonyms and antonyms of the new word. Ninth, to write the new few lines what lesson has been given through the passage. Teaching of poetry. Coleridge defines poetry as the best words in their best order. Professor Hudson says, poetry is made out of life, belongs to life and exists for life only. According to S. Subramaniam, poetry is a thing of beauty, beauty of form, beauty of thought, mood and feeling. So poetry has three aspects, emotional, imaginative and rhythmic. Teaching of poetry to students has following advantages. First, it helps in the all-round development of pupil as pointed out by S. Subramaniam. Inverted comma open. The value of teaching poetry in English language course at the secondary school level is immense. It leads to an all-round development of the whole personality of pupil, particularly the emotional, imaginative, intellectual, aesthetic, and intuitive sides. Second, it enriches the experiences of the pupil. Third, it facilitates the natural aptitude for poetry in pupils. Fourth, it enables students to learn speech rhythm through the rhythm of poetry. Fifth, it has cathartic value because it helps in expression and training of emotions. According to Billows, B-I-L-L-O-W-S, inverted comma open, there seems to be a special value in poetry in a foreign language in opening up the fantasy and giving realized to inhabited and excessively introverted types. Sixth, poetry always imparts enjoyment and pleasure to students. Seventh, it introduces variety. Eighth, it teaches pattern sentences because of the repetition of certain patterns in a poem, as is obvious in the following poem. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. But there are some educationists who think teaching of poetry as redundant and unnecessary. The arguments against poetry teaching are, first, English is a foreign language for Indian pupils, so they cannot understand the appreciate the beauty of poetry. Second, poetry does not facilitate the linguistic aim of teaching English. Third, in poetry, pupils have to face vague ideas, unusual words, and different word order. Fourth, it does not help in increasing vocabulary because the words used in the poetry are generally not used in a day-to-day life. Fifth, the similes and metaphors used in a poetry are beyond pupils' understanding. Sixth, the foreign background described in a poem is unfamiliar to Indian students. In spite of all these arguments against poetry teaching, many scholars think it's essential, keeping in view the various advantages of it, so we can summarize in the words of below. To leave poetry out of a language course is to renounce an extremely effective and labor-saving method of absorbing useful language. Inverted comma close. Menon and Patel have said, the aim of teaching poetry is not so much to improve the child's knowledge of English as to add to his joy and increase his power of appreciation of beauty. Methods of teaching English poetry. There is no particular method of teaching poetry. Each poetry needs an exclusive method and treatment. For teaching poetry, teachers should plan beforehand. First of all, they should write the marginal entries, as in the lessons of prose. After this, the following steps may be followed. First, aims. The main aims of teaching poetry is to develop the power of appreciation of beauty. The general and specific aims of are follows. General aims. The following are the general aims of teaching poetry. First, to enable students to appreciate the beauty, rhythm, and style of poem. Second, to enable pupils to read aloud the poem with proper rhythm and intonation. Third, to enable students to enjoy recitation, individual or chorus, of the poem. Fourth, to make students understand the thought and imagination contained in the poem. Fifth, to train the emotions of students. Sixth, to create a love for English literature in them. Seventh, to develop their aesthetic sense. Eighth, according to Reburn, to give pleasure and thus to lay the foundations for an adequate appreciation of English poetry, which may come later. Inverted comma close. Ninth, according to Eastman, to leave the child with a sense of satisfaction that comes from play, from absorption, from any spontaneous activity. Specific aims. The specific aims of teaching poetry differ from poem to poem. They depend largely on situation, scene, feeling, and thought depicted in the novel. Each poem brings a special and exclusive message from the poet. Nevertheless, the following are the specific aims of the teaching any poem. First, to enable students to appreciate the poem, namely. Second, to enable students to read this poem with correct rhythm. Third, to enable them to understand the idea of the poem. Fourth, to communicate the pupils the exclusive message of the poem. Second, preparation. First, material aids. There is no need of material aids for poetry teaching. If the poetry is not making the scene clear, material aid of a picture depicting the scene is enough. Second, previous knowledge. Teachers should know the age, previous experience and mental development of students. These helps in teaching the poetry and linking the new knowledge of the previous one. Third, introduction. To make students ready to read the poetry is called introduction. It differs according to the subject matter of the poetry. Thompson and White have suggested three ways of introduction. First, the best method is to read the parallel poem as a poem similar in subject matter with the poem to be taught. If possible, the parallel poem should be by the same poet. Second, one method is to give the gist of the poetry and then ask two or three questions on that. The third method is to give the life sketch, style and characteristics of the poet. Some more ways of introduction are: first, the introduction can be done by playing some music. Second, the teacher can ask some questions on the previous knowledge of the student. Third, if the poem is to be learnt, it is descriptive, a picture can be shown. Two or three questions on the picture should be asked. Menon and Patel are of the view that introductory tasks may be given in mother tongue. Poem 2 can be in the mother tongue. Whatever method the teacher employs the introduction, he should be particular about not to spoil the environment necessary for the poem. Fourth, statement of aim. After making students curious to know about the poem by introduction, the teachers should state the aim briefly in clear words. 3. Preparation. Sorry, 3. Presentation. PRESENTATION. 3. Presentation. Reburn says, a good poem is a complete whole. So the poetry should be taught in only one unit with the following steps. First, meaning of difficult words. Exposition and explanation are not done in the teaching of a poem. If there are some difficult words in the poem, the teacher should tell their meaning one by one only orally. He should not give much time to it. Second, model reading. A poem only exists for pupil if they hear and read it, thus feel the music and beauty of its language. The teacher should always remember that the medium of poetry is music and its subject matter is emotion. Therefore, in poetry teaching, what matters more is how it is read. Hence, he should give a model reading with best pronunciation, intonation, stress and rhythm. This model reading should be done twice or thrice, as wisely pointed out by Reburn. Inverted comma open. One reading, of course, is not enough. It must be read two or three times. Inverted comma close. First times, when the teacher reads the poem, the books of students should be closed and they should be asked to listen to the teacher attentively. After the first reading, students should be asked to open their books. Third, loud reading. The teacher should ask two or three students to read the poem just as the teacher has read. The teacher should help them in reciting it with effect, but not check them while reading because it mars the flow. Fourth, comprehension questions. The purpose of comprehension question is to know if the meaning of the poem is clear to students and to make certain ideas more clear. These questions should be simple and should not break the continuity of the poem. Their number depends upon the length and ideas of the poem. Fifth, appreciation questions. Appreciation questions are to make clear the first beauty, second feeling, third main ideas of the poem. These questions test A. appreciation of the beauty of thought, B. appreciation of the beauty of images, C. appreciation of the beauty of emotions, D. appreciations of the beauty of style and language. Sixth, final model reading. The final model reading is by the teacher is done when the appreciation of the poem by the students has heightened. H-E-I-G-H-T-E-N-E-D, heightened. Its effect is much because students feel more interest and enjoyment now. Seventh, choral recitation. C-H-O-R-A-L, choral, R-E-C-I-T-A-T-I-O-N, recitation, choral recitation. The pupils will recite the poem in chorus. It may be that the teacher recites one online, then the students follow in chorus. It helps them in overcoming shyness. Later on, they can recite it independently. It also heightens oral effects, which is necessary for appreciation. Besides, it helps in emotional realize development of eloquence and fluency. Moreover, children find it a source of enjoyment. Fourth, assignment. There is not much importance of assignment in poetry teaching. The teacher may ask to memorize the lines of the poem or to write the gist of the poem. The assignment can be related to some creative work too. The students can be asked to draw a picture depicting the scene described in a poem. Teaching of poem has been nicely described by Haddo, H-A-D-D-O-W, in these words, inverted comma open, read each poem twice. Give the children time to form their own impression. Invite them to criticize and help them in doing so. Let the poetry period be as far as possible a period of joy, a period of pondering over things they love already. Let them choose for themselves the poems they are to learn by heart, each choosing his own favorites. Thus only can we develop a taste for poetry and train their ears to the variety of beautiful sounds. Thus only we can rouse in them some ideas of the wealth of poetry that lies before them. Remember that we must aim at turning out readers of poetry, not students of poetry. Inverted comma closed. Difference in prose and poetry teaching. The major differences in teaching prose and poetry are, first, prose is taught for language training and poetry teaching aims at appreciation of beauty. Second, in prose teaching, exposition and explanation are main, whereas in poetry teaching it is not desirable because it kills the aesthetic sense of the poem. Third, poetry lesson is not taught in parts like a prose lesson. Fourth, in poetry teaching, more emphasis is put on model reading than that on the in prose teaching. Fifth, there is not much need of assignment in poetry teaching as it is in prose teaching.